want you to go to the Word with us. And we're going to look at believing you're a winner. Believing you are a winner. Jesus announced over and over to the apostles, I'm going to be raised from the dead. On other occasions, he said to them, the Son of Man will sit in his glory at Father's right hand. So throughout the Gospels, we read Jesus' statements, which shows that he believed he was destined to be a winner. But toward the end of his life, it looked like Jesus was a big-time loser. He was arrested, taken before a Jewish court, and there he was blindfolded. He was beaten. People slapped him with their open hand or struck him with their closed fist and said, Jesus, prophesy, who struck you? He certainly looked like a loser. After that beating, he was taken to a Roman court. And in that court, soldiers arrayed him in a finely twined purple garment, a kingly garment. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. And they beat him about the head with a staff, saying, you're the king of Israel. Save yourself. And finally, they took him outside the city of Jerusalem and crucified him. He certainly looked like a loser. Even many of his friends believed Jesus was a loser. Whenever the soldiers arrested Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, his closest friends, the apostles, fled. They deserted him because Jesus didn't look like a winner. Jesus' enemies believed he was a loser. As he hung there on that cross with two criminals hanging one at each of his sides, the Jewish authorities laughed him to scorn, mocking him. You saved others. You can't save yourself. Come down from the cross. Then we'll believe that you are the King of Israel. Let God have you, since you declared, I am the Son of God. And finally, Jesus' friends became convinced that he was a loser. Two of his friends walked along a road from Jerusalem to a nearby small village called Emmaus. The resurrected Jesus met them, but they did not recognize Jesus. They said to this stranger, this man who was walking with them, we hoped, and notice those words, we hoped that this Jesus was the Messiah, the King of Israel. But now, they said, he's been in the tomb 3 days. So Jesus looked like a loser, but Heavenly Father raised Jesus from the dead and made him an eternal winner. Let's read about Jesus' exaltation from the position of losing to the position of a winner. Matthew 28, verses 2 through 4 declares,
there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men.
Heavenly Father raised Jesus from the dead. He energized that dead body and raised it a glorified body. The soldiers were so frightened, they fell to the ground like dead men. And so Heavenly Father turned Jesus, who looked like a loser, who people believed was a loser, Jesus was turned into a winner. So, brother, sister, we want to share with you this morning how you can believe you're a winner even when it looks like you're losing. How did Jesus believe he was a winner when it looked like he was losing? Well, first of all, we must fight to believe God's promises. When Jesus was arrested, when he was struck by fist and open palms, when he was spit upon, when he was crowned with a crown of thorns, he knew God's word promised victory. No doubt Jesus had this psalm, this verse from Psalms, running through his thoughts as he was being tortured. Read with us, please. Psalm 16, verse number 10.
You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay.
Jesus continually quoted this verse to himself. Heavenly Father, you will not let me see decay. You will not abandon me to the grave. You see, Jesus was fighting to believe he was the winner, even though it looked like he was losing. So, brother, sister, we have to go to God's promises. Whenever life tells us we are losers, whenever circumstances tell us you're losing, you have lost, you're all washed up, we go to the Word. And we believe only what God's promises say. Let's read what God's promises predict about your future. What God's promises say about you, even in the midst of times when you feel like you're losing. Jeremiah 29, verse number 11.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.
What a prediction that you're going to win. So we have to fight to believe these promises when we feel like we're losing, when other people say you're a loser. Psalm 23, verse number 4.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Walking through the valley of the shadow of death, walking through the valley of losing, we keep reminding ourselves that God hasn't changed. He is with us. He is at our side. In fact, look at this beautiful verse that describes your God. Numbers 23, verse number 19.
God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?
God is not a man that he should lie. So here the Scripture is declaring that God's promises that you're going to win, that you're going to be victorious, that you're going to go through your trials with mighty power. All these predictions are going to be fulfilled because God is not a man that he should change his mind. Does he predict and not fulfill? Does he make a promise and not carry it out? So you see, brother, sister, whenever we are believing God for victory, we have to fight to hold on to his promises because you can't always feel like a winner. Sometimes you're going to feel like a loser, just like Jesus. You see, even while Jesus was going through his torture, his torment, his belief in Father wavered. His belief in Father's promises wavered. Listen to the words of the crucified Jesus as he hung on that cross. He had been there about 6 hours. It was now about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And Jesus' energy, his last physical, emotional energy was ebbing away. Listen to his words. Matthew 27. Verse 46.
Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?
With the last little bit of his energy, he cried out in a loud voice, God, why have you forsaken me? You see, even Jesus, in this grueling torture, in this horrible time, started wondering, where is my Father? Where is the God who promised that my soul would not see decay, that my body would not be left in the grave? So, brother, sister, sometimes we waver. Our faith fluctuates from high to low as life tells us you're a loser, as people tell us you're all washed up, as people and devils whisper in our ears, where is your God? Jesus' faith in Father wavered, but also his conviction and his ability to believe wavered. Yes, Jesus' faith and his own ability to believe God's promise wavered up and down from one side to the other. Listen to Jesus' words that were prophesied in Psalm 22, verse 6.
But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people.
As Jesus hung on that cross, he felt, I am not a man, I'm a worm. I am scorned by the people. You see, he was losing faith that he had faith. And brother, sister, we face the same situation. Sometimes it's so easy to say to ourselves, if I had faith, I would feel better. If I had faith in God, I would be joyous. But no, here we have a picture of the crucified Jesus, the suffering, agonizing Jesus, going through his times of doubt in Father and his time of self-doubt. Listen to the words of Jesus, Psalm 22, verse 14.
My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me.
My heart has turned to wax. Jesus was saying, God, where are you? And he was wondering, where is my faith in God? Where is that strong faith that just a few days earlier told the apostles, I am never alone, for Father is always with me. But now he's wondering, brother, sister, whenever you doubt God, and whenever you doubt your faith in God, don't give up. Fight to believe only God's promises. Fight that doubt. Fight that self-questioning. Fight that self-accusation. And hang in there, brother, sister. You're in a battle. You're in a battle to believe. And God is committed to bringing you through. So believe you're a winner, even when you feel like a loser. Believe you're a winner when it looks like you're losing. Believe you're a winner whenever people say you're no good. God promised that Jesus would win. And in spite of his moments of doubt in Father's promises, God raised him from the dead. Jesus is an eternal winner because he fought to believe God's promises. But secondly, whenever you're doubting Father and in doubting yourself, call on God and ask him for the ability to believe. Call on God. Don't give up. Don't think that God's through with you. Call on God and he will give you the ability to believe. When Jesus hung on that cross, after losing a full night's rest, after being tortured, rejected, spit upon, cursed, mocked, ridiculed, after all that torture, when he looked and felt impossible. The apostles, even Mary the mother of Jesus, had finally joined the crowd standing around the cross of Jesus. And they all felt Jesus was finished. All their dreams of him being Messiah were dying. It looked like Jesus was a loser. His apostles and his dearest mother felt winning was impossible. So you know what Jesus did? Even before his arrest, Jesus called out to his heavenly Father. He called out to his heavenly Father and said, Father, give me the ability to believe. Read with us a description of the praying Jesus, of the Jesus who called out during his moments of weakness. He called out to Father for strength. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 7.
During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission.
Let's read the first part again. Notice how Jesus approached his heavenly Father.
During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears.
He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. He needed divine help. In his battle to believe, he looked like a loser. But he was saying, Father, give me the ability to believe. With loud cries and tears, he called upon the Father. Look with me, Luke chapter 22, verse 41, verse number 42.
He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but yours be done.
Jesus was desperate. He realized from the scriptures of the Old Testament, he realized that he was headed for torture beyond human endurance. Here it says that Jesus, all by himself, without any human aid, assistance, or support, knelt down as his Father. I need help. I'm facing a battle I cannot win. I'm facing a war that's going to overpower me. But what did your Father do? His Father say, Jesus, you ought to have more faith than that. Did Father find any fault with Jesus? No. It says he sent an angel to strengthen Jesus. Now, brother, sister, we can't promise you an angel that you can see. But we can promise you that because Father is on your side, he will respond to your prayer for faith. Whenever you're crying out to God and say, God, I want to believe, but I can't believe. He's going to help you. In fact, would you read for us the Mark's Gospel, chapter number 9, verse number 24. Here, a father with a afflicted son comes to Jesus. First of all, he came to Jesus' apostles and asked them to heal his son, but they couldn't help him. The father came to Jesus and said, Jesus, please heal my boy. But please, notice what the father said in Mark 9:24.
Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief.
The father was so honest. You see, you can be honest with your heavenly Father. When you're angry at him, when you're upset with him, when you're discouraged, when you have no self-confidence, talk to Father. That's what the father of this little boy did. He said, Jesus, I do believe. I have faith. And then he so remarkably said, Jesus, please help me overcome my unbelief. So, brother, sister, that's what Heavenly Father did for Jesus. He gave Jesus the ability to believe. He poured grace into Jesus. Grace is the ability to do God's will. So, brother, sister, you can be a believer. You can make it through your hard times. Fight to believe God's promises. And when you're slipping in faith, when your faith is dwindling away, call on God for the ability to believe. I hope you have a pencil if you're not driving your car. I would like for you to write down this very special verse from the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse number 43. Here it says,
an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him.
Heavenly Father responded to Jesus' cry with the strength from heaven. Brother, sister, God did not call us to do his will. He called us to depend on him to do his own will through us. So you see, our energy, our ability is very limited, but Father's isn't. Heavenly Father can do all things through us. So Heavenly Father will respond. He will respond to you. Give yourself a break. Struggling to believe is not the same as refusing to believe. So many of us practice self-condemnation because we think that our struggle to believe God's promises is the same thing as refusing to believe, but it isn't. Those Jewish and Gentile people who ridiculed Jesus as he hung on the cross. They were refusing to believe. Jesus had given them many, many chances to believe and to confess their faith in him, but they refused. But brother, sister, struggling to believe isn't the same as refusing to believe. So Jesus was struggling in the Garden of Gethsemane. Three times he went to Father and said, Father, please take away this suffering. Jesus was saying, Father, let's find another method of achieving salvation for mankind. So you see, Jesus was struggling with faith, and Father was there to strengthening his struggling faith. Same with God in you. Give yourself a break, brother, sister. Don't condemn yourself. Don't practice self-rejection. Father is there to help you. Please write down this verse too if you can. Isaiah 41, verse number 13. Here is Heavenly Father's offer to every one of us during our time of struggle. It says,
For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, Do not fear, I will help you.
What a beautiful picture of a loving Heavenly Father. He said, I will hold you by your right hand, saying, Do not fear, I will help you. That's God's heart. He isn't in the business of rejecting struggling believers. He's in the business of strengthening us, holding us by our right hand, soothing us, encouraging us, comforting us. How many times I have been upset with myself, found fault with myself, as I wrestled in my thoughts with my lack of faith or with the struggles of life that were attacking me on the left and right, but Heavenly Father stood right there. In fact, one time Dee and I were preaching at a church in Baytown, Texas. And before the pastor turned the service over to us, we were sitting in our pews worshiping the Lord, and I experienced what is called an ocular migraine. Pain and awful fatigue struck me behind my eyes like I had seldom felt. When the pastor turned the service over to me, I couldn't think. I couldn't form words and sentences. We had to cancel the service. And years later, after that incident, I was spending private time with the Lord, and I was saying, God, why did that happen? Why did that incident occur in Baytown and have to cancel that service? And from that ocular migraine, I spent months in physical torture. And as I was struggling, wondering why the Baytown incident occurred, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I stood at your side in Baytown. I felt like God had walked to the other side of the universe and left me alone. But He didn't. Isaiah 41:13. Heavenly Father says, I will hold you by your right hand, saying, Fear not, I will help you. Brother, sister, you're on your way to winning. You might be in the valley of the shadow of death. Losing might be all around you. You might feel like you're losing, but in reality, you're on your way to winning. Please, Psalm 66, verse number 12, the Bible says,
You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance.
The psalmist said, God, you let men ride over our heads. We went through fire. We went through water. Or look at the last phrase of the verse. What's God's intention whenever he lets us go through the valley of the shadow of death? The verse, last part of the verse says,
that you brought us to a place of abundance.
You brought us to a place of abundance. You're on your way to winning. So fight to believe his promises and call on God, and he will give you superhuman ability to believe. Father, thank you. Thank you for being our help. We are going to win through Jesus. In your wonderful name, Lord. Amen.